Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the mic.
Back on Moody on the mic, and there's just the three of us yet again, but Rain Man has made an appearance this week. We've lost Mytho to another holiday, as discussing off air, Moods. He can find a holiday. But again, this might be a case, as it was last week, that without Mytho, we get through the episode a bit quicker than what we would if there was the four of us.
Well, Mytho was very quick to speak poorly of Rain Man last week and saying he, you know, running through all the races and tipping everything by the clerk of the course. And he was quite disparaging in his comments. So, but listen, he's a man of the people. You know, he's put his white shoes on and he's gone up to Lizard Island with his dearly beloved to spend time with the people, as all battling bloodstock entrepreneurs do after a yearling sale. And so you got to feel for him. Listen, I hope the seats 1A and 1C were quite comfortable for he and the lovely, and I hope their gowns and their towels were fluffed up when they arrived and their slippers at the door for them. Really feeling for him. It's a big issue, but he'll be back to join us maybe next week.
Just, I think he's just drowning in pina colada as we talk at the moment. Yeah. So, it's tough. It's tough for Mytho. Rayman, you're back with us. Another great week of racing last week, but I suppose the big story is that the horse of Moody on the mic, Pounding, is into the All-Star Mile, and we could not be more excited.
I'm up and about. The Pounder into the All-Star Mile. Gallatin defeat in the Blamey Stakes on Saturday. And I think it's justice has been done here. He was thereabouts in the Blamey. He was thereabouts in the voting. And he's just been so consistent. I think the campaign that we would have led to take on Racing Victoria, if they hadn't given Pounding a wild card, I think was probably in the back of their mind. I think that Racing Victoria knew they were going to cop an absolute gobful from PG Moody if Pounding didn't get in. And I think that's definitely helped the case. But I'm very excited. I'll be at the Valley on All-Star Mile Day, and I'll be cheering Pounding home.
It wasn't so much that they were scared of what they were going to cop from PG Moody. I understand that there may have already been some messages sent from the phone of Moody to maybe Matthew Welsh. I tried to get Mr. Welsh on here to confirm or deny those reports, but I understand he's in the fetal position under the covers, still a little bit worried about a confrontation with Moods. But thankfully, though, Moods, the Pounder's in. This was a horse that you weren't overly, you were thinking, we got to be in. You want to say the horse has got a chance of winning. And I'm pretty sure that was on the podcast. You said that about a month or 5 weeks ago on our return episode. And since then, he's just looked the horse most likely. And again, as Rayman said, I thought Gentleman Roy would walk in the Blamey. He didn't win, but Pounding was still consistent, ran second behind Nonconformist. And that's the thing about this horse. He just keeps on giving.
Well, he doesn't know how to run bad, does he? Does he have the class to win an All-Star Mile? Is he going to beat multiple Group 1 winner and Alligator Blood and the infamous, what's his name? I've even forgotten his name, Thunderstruck. Those types of horses, I don't know. But listen, he's earned his place there as the four-miler of Melbourne. And on the consistency note, there's not going to be one more consistent than him there. Maybe outside the inevitable, who is probably strung together a four or five down there in Tassie. But no, good luck to him. And listen, I did send some messages to Matty Welsh, because we have communicated a fair bit about the All-Star Mile the last month. Probably more in regards to I wish I win, but I just suggested to him, I think one of my messages said, seem you've elevated a European speed hump into the race. You better look in your own backyard, and a Victorian untrained and bred Pounding would probably deserve a slot as well.
Well, the other big controversy and the other big disappointment on my end is that Labrogues do have one of the wild cards as our runner. And we had the chance to take Pounding, and we didn't take Pounding. I was pounding the cable at Labrogues. We had internal meetings in Leah. I was pounding the table for the Pounder. I was adamant. I almost threatened to quit over it. But I was talked off the ledge. And we now have what Moods has just called a European speed hump as our runner. We've got Alan Quirr, the import, who did run ninth in an Arc de Triomphe. Ladbrokes in this for the first time ever, Ladbrokes and Peter Moody going head to head.
Well, you know, something had to run ninth in that arc, didn't it? So it's good. And I think it was run at 2400, the arc. Obviously, probably a strong form reference for the All-Star Mile. So anyhow, listen, they'll go head-to-head and do battle. Little disappointed that the loyalty didn't shine through there from Ladbrokes through to Moods with all the loyalty I show the company. But they do show me a lot of loyalty once a year, so I very much appreciate it and respect their opinion. But I obviously won't be gracing the Ladbrokes Lounge on All-Star Mile Day because I'll be wearing a different set of colours than the European Speed Hump.
And didn't you actually train a very good horse for the CEO of Ladbrokes at about 20-odd years ago, Mo?
Yeah. No, I trained a Group 1 winner for the CEO of Ladbrokes, but obviously that's long forgotten. That's water under the bridge, as they say. And but we build a bridge and we move on, Rog.
We might be able to get into the Ladbrokes Lounge just for a quick hit and run visit, Moods. Obviously, you won't get the full wristband that does get you all the food and beverages. It would just be a guest wristband, but I'm sure I can sort that out for you.
What do you mean all the food and beverages? All he needs is a 4X gold and a packet of barbecue shapes. Sorry, chicken crimpies.
Oh, no chicken crimpies in the Ladbrokes Lounge, Rog. Nothing but the best. But you can get a 4X gold. Can confirm.
Just on, as we mentioned, Pounding Magnificent, getting in the All-Star Mile, Magnificent and the Blaming running second last weekend. Gentleman Roy and Jack and I both beaten as pretty heavy favourites in Melbourne. The Group 1 win went to Legato, and Moods, Mickey D could ride a broomstick in a Group 1 and get it home at the moment. He's in unbelievable form.
Just took the words out of my mouth, Roger. I was thinking, how can we describe Mickey D on a broomstick? No doubt in the world. This young man's riding with unbelievable confidence and poise, getting the job done week in, week out. You know, his Blue Diamond weekend, you know, backed up by Legato's terrific effort. And wasn't she good? The race was unfortunately marred by a nasty incident. And our thoughts and prayers go out to Ethan Brown, who's still in hospital from injury sustained in that fall. But thankfully, the horses came through it okay. But really thinking of Ethan there. And you know, I think most of them had their chance, to be honest, and Legato was just too good. She should have come over undefeated from New Zealand. Ken and Bev Kelso, lovely people. First Group 1 in Australia for them after multiple placings, and she's a damn good filly. And I would imagine some of our more robust ownership groups would have been swarming over Legato, but I haven't heard any reports that she's been purchased to remain in Australia. Ancroft Stud over in New Zealand retained ownership. I've been waiting daily for the report to come through to say she's been purchased and transferred. But for Ken and Bev's sake, hopefully that's not the case. And they get the opportunity to bring her back over here in the spring. I believe she's going for a spell. And Jackano, does he see a mile out? He was back, ran on pretty good. He might just be a run-on 1,200-1,400 metre horse. I'm not going to pot him. He's the best three-year-old colt in Australia, I think, arguably. But maybe at those slightly shorter courses.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one, Moose, because I do think he might be one of those horses that's just best at 1,400 metres, and where Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. are lucky that we have a lot of Group 1 races in Australia over 1,400 metres. So I think the next race for Jackano is the all-age stakes, which I think looks a great race for him. 1,400 metres, he'll take on the older horses, but I think that might be the right target for him because he just doesn't quite seem to really run out that strong mile, which you do need to do if you want to win a race like the Doncaster Mile.
Yeah, surprised, and it is a race that Henry Fields targeted. I actually won it for him a few years back with Dissident. Surprised he probably wouldn't go to a TJ Smith en route to that, but they have said the all-aged is his race, and it's certainly a very good option. And while we're talking about Sydney racing, listen, I and once again, arguably, Zach Purton, he's got to be the best rider, certainly the best rider in Australasia. Just to step off a plane and do what he did on Artorias and the Guineas winner up there in Sydney. I'm not knocking J-Mac, I'm not knocking anyone here in Australia, but He's just different gravy, isn't he? Zach Purton, he's in the bubble situation in Hong Kong, but to step out and do that, that's phenomenal performance. Hats off, Zach Purton. I don't think you've got a peer anywhere in the world, let alone Australasia.
He was on the back of a pretty good horse, Moods, but it was an unbelievable ride. But Artorias, we know he's got that run on almost Chautauqua-like finish to him. But Imperatriz, the Kiwi, who we talked about last week, he started a short price favourite, even money. Our mate Dave Gately, who does the run of the day poll on Twitter every week, I text Gator straight after the race. I said, mate, don't even bother running the poll after that finish. And he goes, oh, what happened? I was in the queue about to collect for Imperatriz. And that's what it was like. Imperatriz was home for all money. And it was just, as Darren Flindell said in the call, just came over and absolutely bombed him. It was unbelievable.
Well, he's promised to do that for 2 years, Artorias, hasn't he? He really has, not only here in Australia, but even overseas. And I suppose he's just one of those get-back run-on horses. And it's impossible for them to win each and every time or perform each and every time. They're a sort of one in five horse because they just need so much luck. They need the right tempo. They need the gun ride. They need the gaps to appear. And you know, he'll step out favourite next time and might run an unlucky sixth. And not saying that's on his ability, that's just on the luck that he requires with his racing pattern. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't back a horse like that, because the day you leave him out, you know, he's going to do that. But I think you'd cop it once every 2 years. If you back the horse that sits up on the speed, makes its own luck, you'll finish in front. And that's not Artorias, unfortunately. But there's no doubting the horse's absolute brilliance.
Yeah, I think he's a bit of a Goldilocks horse, Moods. He needs everything to be just right, Artorias. But now another horse that they've made clear his future plans, and their plan is now to drop back to 1,200 metres for the TJ Smith. When we've seen him at the mile. He didn't win the Caulfield Guineas, but he was outstanding in that Caulfield Guineas behind Animo. I think that there's always been a bit of a debate whether Artorias is a mile or whether he's a run-on sprinter. But I would have thought that the George Ryder Stakes, 1,500 metres, after what he did in that Canterbury Stakes, I would have maybe given the George Ryder a crack. Because it doesn't look like being a vintage edition of the George Ryder, because it will be run on the same day as the All-Star Mile. Like, it could be a race that's been left on the table.
Yeah, listen, I don't think it'll be left on the table. It's always a bloody good race, the George Ryder. But listen, I think, you know, have a look at the Jackano scenario. They've been down that road before. They look good, run home good after doing no work in mile races, but they just don't quite have that brilliant last 200 metres that they do at the end of sort of 1,000, 1,100, 1,200, and that's the difference between winning and losing.
Just before we wrap this up, Moods, just back to your original point about Zach Purton. He's had his differences with the establishment over there in Hong Kong, and he's been there 14 years. There certainly seems to be winds of change that maybe he is going to come back permanently to Australia. What are the whispers? What are you hearing? We should probably ask our old mate Jimmy Cassidy, given it's his father-in-law, or Zach's his son-in-law. But, you know, how big would it be for Australian racing, Melbourne and Sydney, if we had someone like Zach just freelancing between the states?
Oh, yeah, listen, imagine having him back here as a carnival jockey, he and J-Mac going toe-to-toe, wherever it may be. You know, it'd be great theatre. And throwing Jay Carr in from Victoria, flying the flag on International Ladies' Day. But she's not a lady jockey. She's a top jockey. So it'd be phenomenal. And I suppose, Zach, it would come down to family circumstances. And I would imagine, Hong Kong's been unbelievably fruitful for him. But how much money do you need or can you spend? Like you said, Jay Cassidy's his father-in-law. They have children, Zach and his lovely wife. Where do they want those children to grow up? Is it in the Mecca of Hong Kong, where they've probably been now since they've been born, or do they want to bring them home to Australia, where no doubt there's a bit more room to kick the shoes off and run around on the grass?
I think with Zach Purton, it's an interesting situation as well, that he spent so much time away from Australia. And he's not like one of these jockeys that goes to Hong Kong and comes back for the carnivals. Like, we don't see him get to ride in Australia very often. And I think that means that outside of hardcore racing fans, I think all of us that are in the racing bubble, we know how good Zach Purton is. But I think those more casual racing fans, Zach Purton is a little bit more of an unknown, those who aren't across the Hong Kong form. But in my mind, and I think he's now in Australia starting to get the credit he deserves, but in my mind, he's not only probably the most underrated jockey in Australia, he might be one of the most underrated athletes in Australia, because he has been able to dominate on the biggest stage for a jockey in the world for a substantial long period of time now, and he's probably never really got the credit he deserves. So it was good to see him come in for that hit and run mission on Saturday and really put his name up in lights in Australia with the more casual racing audience.
Yeah, well, you don't see his name listed on the top money earners of athletes in Australia, but I reckon he probably looks at the list and has a little giggle most years.
Ladbroken, and multiply the excitement with Ladbroke's Same Race Multi. To build a Same Race Multi, head to your chosen race. Find the Same Race Multi tab and pick 2 to 4 runners to finish anywhere inside the top 4. Add up to 4 runners to watch your potential payout increase. Ladbroke's Same Race Multi. Available on Thoroughbred, Greyhound, Harness and International Racing. Ladbroken. T's and C's apply. See website for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Okay, there's 2 Group 1s in the country this weekend. We're going to look at both of them. We're also going to look at race 3 on the program at Flemington, which is the CUNY Stakes. And heading the market, Rayman, is a horse that we've become rather familiar with here on Moody on the Mic, and that is Shuffle Dancer. Has there been much money early for the Peter Moody-trained galloper?
Shuffle Dancer is the favourite, Rog. Pretty solid, 440 into 420 early. 2 wins on the trot, absolutely flying this preparation. Revolutionary Miss, second line of betting at $4.60. The early market mover, Wolverine's been $9.50 into $7. And Moods has got Nunthorpe in there as well at $23 at the moment. But I found this a race I think the market's got just about right. I think Shuffle Dancer is more than deserving of its place at the top of the market here. Did the job well, and it was a tough win last start in the Angus Armanasco Stakes at Sandown. Before that was a fairly handy winner at the Valley at a short price. So I think, and I'll be interested to hear Moots' thoughts. Like, I think she would need to improve again to win this race. I think this race is a little bit stronger, but I don't think it's that much stronger. I'm not sure she'd need to improve by that much. And I just think she is a filly that still has plenty of upside. You can't knock her record now. 3 wins from her past 4 race starts, and she's a horse I'm pretty keen to follow throughout the carnival. So I won't be doing anything crazy here. Shuffle Dancer on top for me.
Yeah, I could give you my in-depth thoughts, but no one gives a shit given that Moods has got the favourite, and that's the one I'm going to go with. And Moods, would you be talking us out of backing Shuffle Dancer? Does look a fairly progressive horse and who just keeps on keeping on.
Listen, she's in great shape, Shuffle Dancer. She's trained on very well, but I'll warn you, the stablemate Nunthorpe, that's a ridiculous price about her, $23. I would be backing her each way at $23 all day, every day, ahead of Shuffle Dancer at $4 for the fact that she was ridden too close on a hot speed last start, worked from a gate. She's drawn a barrier. She'll get a soft run, probably third pair, and her ability to quicken is quite good. If you go back to her previous 2 runs, even though one of them was a maiden, I would think she will run extremely well, and you know, her rating belies her ability. So I'm not going to knock or talk anyone out of Shuffle Dancer, but don't leave the stablemate Nunthorpe. And great respect for the field too. There's some nice fillies there for sure. Wallumbi was the beneficiary of that good speed coming from last the other day and blousing those fillies in that race. But I'm going to stick with my 2 and thinking they can both run very well. Shuffle Dancer, obviously not each way odds, but include her in all your multiples, but don't leave Nunthorpe out at the $20.
Yeah, I remember giving Nunthorpe a reasonable push on here last start. As you say, it didn't just pan out, but maybe we go again at that big price. But the horse that everyone's talking about, that I know Rain Man is just keeps looking at the ticket he's got for the Newmarket Handicap at pretty big odds, and then he's, I wish I'll win. Peter Moody, you have the favourite in the Group 1. Rayman, run us through the current market as of Wednesday evening, post-barrier draw, final field, all that. I'd imagine I Wish I Win is being very heavily backed.
Yeah, he's still the favourite, Rog. Hasn't been heavily backed early, 420 out to $4.50, but he's the favourite from In Secret at $5, Private Eye, $7.50. Bit of specking early, Lofty Strike. It's been $10 into $8.50, and the market mover early is Front Page. Would be a pretty good story if it wins the Newmarket first up. It's been 35 into $20. But it's been an emotional week for me. Moods wasn't happy with the weight given to I Wish I Win. There were stories going around that if Jeff O'Connor didn't want to run I Wish I Win, he was gonna be saved for another day. I'm in tears trying to not hold my phone, say, please, Moods, run him. We need to run him for the people, for the battlers.
For Rayman's betting account.
Yeah, exactly right. For personal, for the most important battler, which is me. But I wish I win. We all saw what he did first up in the Black Caviar Lightning Stakes, and we've all been basically excited about him since he arrived in Australia. And the big thing that's always been the case with I Wish I Win has been he needs a firm deck. It looks like we're going to get a firm deck at Flemington on Saturday. He looks to have drawn the right part of the track there in Barrier 14. So I Wish I Win, still clearly the horse to beat for mine. And obviously I'm already invested with that futures ticket. It's a great race, though. It's a really good addition to the Newmarket Handicap. You can make a case for a number of horses in this field. And there's a few at a price I do think can run a bit of a race. I think Marzu's been somewhat of the forgotten horse. He was sort of touted to be the next big thing in the sprinting ranks after his win in the Doomben 10,000. And he didn't win a race during the spring, but he was far from disgraced. He was finished third in the Everest. He was second behind Lost in Running. He's got form around Private Eye, who is absolutely flying and goes into this race as one of the leading chances. But you're getting $14 for Marzu at the moment. So I think first up, he can run a bit of a race. And if you're looking for each way to add some value to Exotic, September Run, $21 to win at the moment, $6 to play. She's far from the most consistent horse in the world, but she's got a really good record at Flemington. Some of her best performances have been over 1,200 metres at Flemington. She won a Coolmore Stud Stakes in really impressive fashion. And she was very good in that Black Caviar Lightning Stakes as well. So I think she can run a race at a nice price, but obviously I Wish I Win is the horse we'll all be cheering for.
Yeah, I'm not a full-blown analyst. I'm not an analyst at all. And I generally lean just toward the Moody runners. And after that Lightning, you know, there's a flashing light for everyone around. I Wish I Win. And if Moods is happy with the draw, maybe not the weight, but, you know, then I'll be chips in on I Wish I Win. Lofty Strike is the one that is the blowout chance for mine. I'd love to see Julius Sandu get the group one. If Moods doesn't get another one, he's got, you know, 60-odd. But, I Wish I Win for me. Moods, would you talk me out of it?
No knock on the horse at all. He's in great order. I Wish I Win. As is Chain of Lightning, the stable mate, she probably needs a little bit of cut in the ground at this level, but she can run cheeky as well. But I Wish I Win's done everything asked of him in the 3 weeks since his pleasing run in the Lightning. Just got to keep in mind, this is different kettle of fish, big handicap race compared to a small weight for age field. And he's paying the penalty for a horse like Nature Strip or that not being in the weights, because if Nature Strip was there, he probably comes in with, say, 55, and then he's only got to give a gun three-year-old filly like In Secret three and a half kilos instead of five. And that can be telling in handicaps. You're like, she's a genuine Group 1 filly, Buenos Notches down the bottom there on 50 and a half. They're damn good horses. The race is a terrific addition, as it should be. It's the 150th running of this great race. He's going to need luck. He's going to be back in the field. He's going to be storming home. As long as the gaps appear at the right time, he can win it. But, you couldn't really, there's a couple of 90-odd raiders there in Snapper and Star Patrol, but they've shown plenty of ability along the way. Everything else is 105 and up in the ratings. You don't see that too often. And, the weights do worry me, and the luck factor worries me. But if it falls into place, yes, he can win the race for sure.
Would you have rather it inside or outside? Where do you stand on that?
Well, you like to be probably around the speed. I haven't had a good look at the race yet. We've got Baller and Marzu out there with us. And then down on the inside, they've got horses like Snapper that are probably going to run along. Where's the speed going to come from? I think there's probably not dynamite speed for a new market. There's good speed, but not dynamite speed, which could play into I Wish Our Win's hands. He could travel a couple of lengths closer than he did in the Lightning and not need as much luck to force a passage through most of them if they don't go very hard. And I think that'll make Nolan's job easier out wide. So just hoping for clear running.
I know, Mood, you like to take it one run at a time, and obviously you'll know more after Saturday, but have you put any thought into what does the rest of the autumn look for I Wish I Win if he does, say, come out and win the Newmarket Handicap or run really well on Saturday?
Well, obviously the rider and the All-Star Mile are the following Saturday, so you'd have to say both those are in extreme doubt. Do we look at a race like the TJ and the All-Age? I've had calls from 7 different slot holders for the Quokka in Western Australia. So I'm starting to think they might struggle to gain a field for that race. It's a $4 million race. You've got the Hong Kong International Sprint at the end of April, another $4 million race, and Hong Kong's traditionally on a firm deck as well. There's a race for him every Saturday from now through to the end of May. So we'll just pick our mark, pick our decks, I would say from, probably 1,200 to a mile. During the week, we paid the first acceptance for the Doncaster. We also paid the first acceptance for the Queen Elizabeth, which is at 2,000 metres. So let's hope we can win Saturday, and then we'll start discussing options beyond that.
Plenty of nice races up here in Queensland as well, Moods.
Exactly.
Well, once we've got Panning in the All-Star Mile, once we clear that, then I Wish I Win becomes the horse of Moody on the mic, and maybe we do a live show over at the Quokka if we go there, or internationally. I mean, maybe we just start following I Wish I Win around. I'm just throwing it out there, Rain Man. Maybe talk to your people at Ladbrokes.
Yeah, I think we'll have to make that happen, Rog.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's head to Sydney. Let's take a look at the Coolmore Classic. A race that's the Coolmore being won by a Moody on the mic horse a couple of years ago in Crone at big odds, which I think was you picked at double figure odds, and no doubt Mitho did because he'd always pick the Rosemont Red. But give us the market for the Coolmore, a wide open Coolmore this year.
Yeah, as it so often is, right, Rog, it's always a very open race. Atavisto, the favourite at $5.50. Then you've got a mountain of horses around the $8 mark. Hinge, Tope in Your Heart, Ruthless Dame, Espiona, they're all there from $8 to $9.50. And a bit like the Newmarket, there's not too many horses in this field that you can go through and put the pen through, in my opinion. And the horse I've got on top here in a wide open race is actually $41 at the moment. Times Square for Kieran Maher and David Eustace. It's a filly that's come over from France, and a few of its runs in France were very, very high rating. Probably the concern is here is that its best form in France was generally with the sting out of the track, and it does have a bit of wet track form, and it doesn't look like we're going to get any rain in Sydney this week, which is surprising. But on its best European form, Times Square is right in this race, and at $41 to win, $10 to play, so I'm willing to have a little each-way gamble. Another horse I'm definitely including is She's a Belter. Always been a fan of this horse. And she was unlucky the other day in the Surround Stakes. She got shuffled back. She was shuffled back to last. The race certainly wasn't run to suit, but she was still able to reel off some really fast closing sectionals. And I'm confident she has a big race in her this preparation. And I think she can definitely improve here. She's currently $15 with Ladbrokes. And the other one I want to include here at a bit of a price in what is just simply a wide open race is Larkspur Run. Was very good at last start in the Triskay. We'll need a little bit of luck in running from barrier 17, but it does have some early speed. So it does give Rachel King some options. And I do think that she's a better chance than that price suggests. She's $41 with Ladbrokes at the moment. She, another horse, not the most consistent in the world, but she can run a big rating on her day. So I want to include her. So I'm going very wide in the Coolmore and hoping for a rough result like we saw with Crone a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's certainly a race that if you're having a quarty in Sydney on the weekend, you will be going wide. I found a bit of a nightmare. I think Hinge has got claims at around $9. Rananimo under a length, beat home Fangirl in the Apollo, a bit further off those two in the Chippick Norton. But I wouldn't mind a little bit James McDonald on there. Also think that last start win in the Mannerism reminded Espiona that she's a good horse. 51 kilos. If she does run in this race, I think she's a dual acceptor. But if Espiona, I think she was around sort of $10 or $11. I wouldn't mind a little bit on her as well. But in a race with plenty of chances, I'm going with a couple that are close to, if not at, the double figure mark with Espiona and also Hinged.
And mentioning Espiona, she's got the Group One Guru, Mick D, in the saddle if she does take a place there. So that certainly won't be detrimental to her chances. It's another big handicap. It's amazing the weather in Sydney this week. I actually accepted with Boogie Dancer to run in this race with 51 kilos and actually had Rachel King booked to ride her. And then quickly before acceptances closed, we looked at the weather map and saw there's 430-odd degree days at Rose Hill and the track's probably going to be a good three. So we quickly withdrew her, thinking that she'd need cut in the ground to be mixing it with these horses. So happy to see that Rachel picked up a ride in the race. I didn't want to cost her there. Anna Visto, that win was seeing to believe that Flemington the other day. I thought she was super. 16 barrier, going to make a task a little bit hard, along with the likes of Larkspur Runner. They're going to go forward and the gallop's going to be very good. I thought Ruthless Dane was superb in a two runs back. And for me, she's probably the one. What odds Ruthless Dane, Rain Man?
Yeah, good enough. Nice price here, Moods, as you are with every runner in this field. She's currently 850 to win, 310 to place.
Well, I think 310 to place is great odds anyhow, but I'm thinking she can go there and win. She looked all over the winner last start in the Furious, just got nutted or out-bobbed on the line. But there's not too many in this that would surprise you, but for the sake of having a pick and not pulling the pineapple out, I'm going to stick with Ruthless Dane. If Anna Visto happened to get a soft roll across the front of them, she will be very hard to run down. But the nine Ruthless Dame on top for me.
Here we have a mate dedication from Scott to Johnny. Over to you, Scott.
Jono, you've got some questionable banter at times. Oh, man, did you butcher the speech at both of Tim's weddings. And you barrack for the worst footy team. But, mate, you nailed last weekend's multi. Love you, big fella.
Good on you, Scott. Try Ladbrokes Mates Mode to chat, share and bet together. T's and C's apply and available on website. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Rayman, back for this week. We missed you last week, so you got you just got an NA. But give us your best bet for this weekend.
I'll take the NA, Rog, because it would have been better than my best did would have gone anyway. So I think it's a very tricky weekend for a best. We're sort of a few really short price favourites across both cards, but a lot of really open races. So I've gone wide for my best bet here. It'll be a best each way bet. Race 6, Flemington, number 6, Surefire, the Australian Cup prelude. It's $12 to win, $3.50 the place. His two race starts this preparation certainly haven't been spectacular. He was 8th in the Apollo Stakes first up, 8th in the Peter Young Stakes at Sandown last start, but didn't have a huge amount of luck in either of those races. I think getting back to Flemington does suit this horse. He was a really impressive winner of the Hotham on Derby Day last year. And I think he's a horse that on his best, he's more than capable of mixing it with this field. So you're getting $12 to win, $3.50 to place. Jamie Carr in the saddle. I think he's an outstanding each way bet.
I've gone the same race and the same ploy, an each way bet in the Australia Cup prelude, but a different horse. I am going with the Mar Eustace camp, and I am going with Right You Are. It just reads like the form line of a well-executed plan by the stable who know what they're doing. Just working through the grades beautifully, coming along as a nice middle distance type, winning form, good form. And with, to me, no other runner in that race that screams back me. I think each way for Right You Are. In fact, it's probably a bit short for Right. It's a bit short each way. Just straight out the wind. Right You Are, number 7. Race 6, number 7, Right You Are.
Righto. Across to me, a few runners for the Little Boutique Stable this weekend heading to Flemington. In race 2, we've got horse 2, Mullane. He was extremely disappointing last Saturday. I feel he just didn't apply himself. He got beat 6 lengths in a Lightning Stakes behind the best sprinters in the world. Then he got beat 8 lengths in a restricted 3-year-old race and was given every chance by C. Newitt. So the blinkers go on. Luke Nolan back on the saddle that knows him probably better than anyone. He needs to turn it around. He's had a bit of tough love this week and he's had a bit of work at home and he's been doing a bit of jumping and mixing it right up. If we can get him switched on, he can run well, but I've got to see him do it. Race 3, the CUNY, 2 runners, the 3 Shuffle Dancer, the favourite, probably deserved favourite on form. Expect her to run extremely well again. She'll probably be back midfieldish. Ben Malham's formed a nice affinity with his filly, will run well. The 10, Nunthorpe, as discussed earlier, I think the $23 is big overs for this filly. She's drawn a soft gate. She's going to get a gun run and is much better than a last run suggests. Down to the Matron Stakes, Forbidden City, the 9, race 5, horse 9. I thought she was very good. I thought she was terribly unlucky behind Espiona at Sandown last start. Arguably, I believe she should have won the race due to a bit of pilot error. Similar type race. I think she gets a chance to bounce back. She'll be ridden quiet. Don't see a lot of speed in the races, probably against that, but she's got to be ridden quiet, and I think she'll run extremely well. The Newmarket, we touched on that. I wish I win. He goes there in great order. Given even luck, he's going to be very hard to beat if he can repeat those Lightning Stakes sectionals. Chain of Lightning in the same race. She's going super, this mare. Just needs to get a toe into the ground. I don't think that'll be the case on Saturday. And across to the eighth race, I was nearly going to say the last race, we've got Life Lessons returning from a spell. This is a filly that put together a bit of a picket fence and then ran second to the Inform Nugget at a last start before this freshen up. She resumes here. She's drawn a bit awkward. Haven't had a chance to have a look at the race. We had to withdraw her last week with a bit of tracheal mucus in her throat. That's cleared up. Drawn 13 of 15. Not sure how she maps, but she is in very good order. My best for the weekend, I'm going to go with Nunthorpe each way at the $23. No knock on the favourite that I also trained in the same race, Shuffle Dancer. I'd be surprised if she's not right in the mix. But Nunthorpe at $23, I think she is big overs. And punters out there, you'll be very happy to know that sadly this week I retired my stable stalwart, Oxley Road. He's been the bane of your existence and mine. If you've been following my tips, I reckon I've tipped him probably 10 of his last 12 runs over the last 18 months. And he disappointed me for the last time on Saturday. He just hasn't got his heart in it anymore. So he's going to go off to a life of luxury, hopefully to a lovely harem of well-bred mares to breed fast horses like himself. So that's it for the weekend. Nunthorpe, my best each way. The 150th running of Australia's greatest sprint race team, the Newmarket Handicap. And they'll let them run fast. We've seen some of the greatest in the turf win this race, from Burnbrit to Black Caviar and everything in between. God give them strength. Let them run fast and have a great weekend. Ladbrokes.